Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the EIT Parry India Q1 FY 2024 earnings call conference hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Manyal from DAM Capital Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello everyone. We thank EIT Parry's management for giving us this opportunity to host this call. On the call today, we have with us Mr. Muthiah Murugappan, Whole-time Director and CEO, Mr. Suresh Kannan, Whole-time Director, Parry Refinery, Mr. Y. Venkateswarlu, CFO, and Mr. Biswak Mohan Raj, Company Secretary. I hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks, followed by a question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi. Very good afternoon. Thank you, Sanjay. Thank you all for logging in to EIT Parry's first quarter FY 2025 earnings conference call. I will start with a brief overview of the global scenario, then move on to the Indian scenario and our Q1 response. I also hope that you've been able to review the investor presentation which we have uploaded after our board meeting. I'll start with the global scenario. So as of 1st August, the sugar year 2024-25 balance sheet, which initially appeared to be in deficit in the early part of the season, is now beginning to show a surplus, and this is mainly on the back of a better mix in Brazil and higher production estimates in India. The EU, on the other hand, is also estimated to produce a higher output of close to 17 million metric tons of whites. As per Zanico, the total global sugar production is now estimated at 184 million metric tons, while consumption is expected to be 180.8 million metric tons. Further, any dryness and impact of La Niña weather patterns can limit Brazilian output. However, in spite of this, Brazil is on the way to produce historically second-largest output of 40.5 million metric tons. Production estimates for other Asian countries like Thailand are still evolving, with good monsoons expected, and this is also expected to positively impact the output. Raw sugar prices have softened as funds are selling on a developing surplus story. White premiums have been robust up until October 24, showing weakness in December 24 and March 25 due to expected higher exports from the EU, Thailand, and India. Coming to India, the sugar production for the sugar year 23-24 is estimated to be 34 million metric tons. A few mills are still operational as the special season is in progress in Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. Diversion expected to be just over 2 million metric tons, the net sugar production will be close to 32 million metric tons. Considering an opening stock last year of about 5.5 million metric tons and the forecasted domestic consumption of 28.5 million metric tons, the closing stock by September 24 is expected to be a healthy 9 million metric tons. And this is significantly above the 2.5-month consumption number, which the government would ideally like to maintain. This increased closing stock is, of course, augurs with a significant additional cost for the millers on account of idle inventory and carrying cost. The FRP increase, which has already been announced for sugar year 24-25 of 25 rupees a quintal, will also attract more farmers to plant sugarcane. This augurs well for the industry. The monsoon has also thus far been favorable, a little delayed in some parts of peninsular India, but right now moving at 6% more rainfall than normal at the All India level. This will further bring relief to sugarcane farmers and to the industry at large. preliminary estimates from ISMA are pegging production for sugar year 24-25 at 33.3 million metric tons. We still don't have any policy clarity with regard to the rollback of ethanol diversion and revision of MSP, despite number of representations from the industry. We will have to wait and watch how the policymakers respond. From our perspective, at Q1, the standalone revenue from operations for the quarter ended 30th June 2024 was 751 crores, registering an increase of 7.58% as against 698 crore in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The EBITDA for the quarter ended loss of 28.59 crores as against the loss of 14.63 crore in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Standalone loss after tax for the quarter was 78.59 crore as against a loss of rupees 45.77 crore in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The operating performance of the standalone sugar division was higher during the year as compared to the previous year on account of marginally higher alcohol sales and the launch of the consumer products staples business. The overall cane crush for Q1 period has reduced from 4.01 lakh metric tons to 1.93 lakh metric tons, and overall sugar sales has reduced from 1.21 lakh metric tons to 1.05 lakh metric tons on account of lower release quotas. During the quarter, the Haliyal 120 KLPD distillery started its operations, and the Nellikuppam 45 KLPD distillery for ethanol has also completed its initial trials. Alcohol sales went up from 3.4 crore liters to 3.9 crore liters when compared to the same quarter last year. I'll now hand over to our CFO Venkat to take you through the operating parameters and the financials.
Thank you, Muthu, and good afternoon to all participants. It's a great pleasure to be part of the analyst call and to share the key information of the operational and financial performance of the company. I would like to share you with the key operating parameters of each segment. So the first we will take about the sugar operations. So we have crushing operations in Tamil Nadu about 65 days, and I would like to share the quantitative details as under. So we crushed about 1.93 lakh metric tons compared to the corresponding quarter of the previous year was 4.01 lakh metric tons. As far as the recovery is concerned, the recovery was 8.6% compared to last year. The corresponding quarter of the previous year was 9.0%. As far as the sugar production is concerned, we produced about 16,000 metric tons during this quarter. Again, as the corresponding quarter of previous year was 33,000 metric tons. So overall cane cost is about 3,491 rupees per metric ton, and last year corresponding period was 3,267. As far as the sugar volume is concerned, we sold about 1,05,000 metric tons. Sales is for the domestic, we don't have any exports. Corresponding previous year was 1,21,000 metric tons. As far as the sugar selling price is concerned, average realization is 38 rupees 60 paisa against the 36 rupees 40 paisa of the previous year quarter. So we carried about 1,59,000 metric tons of the sugar at average price of around 35 rupees or so. So as far as the revenue from sugar is concerned, the revenue is about 251 crores in current quarter against the corresponding period previous year was 336 crores. So registered a decline of 25.3% on account of lower release and no release order for export. All FRPs are paid on time. As far as the consumer product group, has achieved a turnover of 216 crores. For this quarter, against the corresponding period of previous year was 129 crores, it registered a growth of 67%, which included branded staples around about 51 crores. As far as the cogen is concerned, power generated for the current quarter is 307 lakhs units, against previous year was about 520 lakhs units. Power exports is concerned, 170 lakhs units, against previous year, which was 240 lakhs units. Average power tariff is 4.23 per unit as against the previous year 4.05 per unit. Revenue per power division is around 11.95 crores against previous year, which was around 19.24 crores. As far as the distillery operation is concerned, we sold about 3.9 crores liters, of which 1.73 crores of ENA and 2.17 lakh liters of ethanol. Previous year, the same was 3.43 crores lakh liters, out of which 1.2 lakh liters was ENA and 2.23 crores liters of ethanol. As far as the price relation is concerned, we have realized average price relation is 64.31 rupees per liter. Against the previous year realization is 61.08 rupees. As far as the revenue is concerned, 263 crores compared to the previous year of 208 crores during the previous period. As far as the Nutra is concerned, we achieved a turnover of about 8.41 crores against the 4.7 crores in the previous year. At a consolidated level, Nutra business turnover is 65.71 crores against the corresponding previous year, which was 54.98 crores. As far as the refinery operations is concerned, operational revenue for the quarter is 1,213 crores, whereas the corresponding previous quarter, it was previous year quarter was 608 crores. Significantly, there is an increase in the turnover. As far as the PBT is concerned, for the quarter, loss is about 6.79 crores. Again, as the previous year, previous corresponding quarter was 96.51 crores. Loss has significantly has reduced, so improving the performance of the refinery business. As far as the refinery sugar production is concerned, 1.6 lakh metric tons we produced in the current quarter, whereas the same in the corresponding previous year's quarter, it was 1.3 lakh metric tons. The sugar, refined sugar sales is concerned, Q1 is at 2.23 lakhs metric tons for the current quarter. Previous year corresponding quarter was around 1.33 lakhs metric tons. So long-term loan of the refinery, this is including EAD, including the of EAD is the 200 crores. The same was the 200 crores in the last year. As far as the short-term loans is concerned, about 220 crores for the current quarter, as against the previous year corresponding quarter was 5,966 crores. If you look at the summary of the operational performance of the refinery, so sales is at 2.23 versus 1.33 of the previous year. Revenue 1,213 crores. The corresponding previous quarter was 608 crores. EBITDA is a 13.24 crores, whereas against previous year it's a loss of 54.5 crores. So external borrowing is a 220 crores against 596 crores. Yeah. Sanjay, over to you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Gautam from Nalanda Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So just one thing. So we've launched this new Amrit product in brown sugar, which is priced at 80 rupees, and your existing product was 100 rupees. So what's the thought process behind that? If I see your slide 15, are you trying to create the brown sugar category?
Gautam, hi. I'm going to have my colleague, Mr. Balaji Prakash, who heads the consumer business, to give you some color on that.
Gautam. So this is Balaji here. So we are looking at pricing the new brown sugar, which is nothing but your crystal brown sugar under the Parry Gold brand name. And this is priced lower more as a penetrative pricing into the market in order to generate more trials from consumers.
Okay, and so this 1800 tons that you have sold of Jaggery plus Amrit, so what would be the exit run rate for June specifically for that month?
For the month of June, we have sold about 400 tons only in June.
Okay. And similarly on the pulses, so I think you mentioned 50 crores of revenue for the quarter. How is the month-on-month growth been? Like, is there like a monthly run rate, that exit run rate that we can work with?
Yeah, so it's we started with 10 crores in April and June was 25.2 crores.
Okay. And how is the, in general, how is the traction been for our products and how many distribution points are we at now?
So overall, we are at about 1.5 lakh outlets in the south of India, and the traction has been pretty good in the first quarter.
Okay. And just one last question was, in the annual report, we've mentioned a green grow product, which is, I think, some nutrient-based product made out of bagasse. So can you just highlight, like, what is the opportunity over there? And is it like a very long-term play?
Gautam, the green grow media is from bagasse, the residual bagasse. It's a soilless growing medium which you would find in greenhouses. It's got a lot of potential in the export market and in India. Product development and customer development is ongoing. We don't want to discuss too much right now because we're not yet ready. And ideally, we'd like to have an edge in the market as well. The opportunity is large in the sense, soilless medium is also moving towards greener formulations, and that's where bagasse comes in. Incumbent formulations, do have environmental issues, and that's what we're trying to solve.
Okay. And just, sorry, one last question was, for our Nutra division, have we got certification from Europe?
So, yes, we do have some good news that that's coming through in the next couple of weeks. So, we should be able to start billing to Europe towards the end of the start of Q3.
Oh, Q3, you said?
Yeah, I think we should be billing from Q3 onwards.
Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chirag Jain from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I was trying to understand the company. So I had a few questions regarding the capacity of ethanol distillery that we had. So can you provide a breakup that regarding the split between sugarcane, rice and maize capacity?
So our total distillery capacity is about 580 kiloliters per day.
Okay.
All of these are sugarcane-based feedstock. There's one distillery which is 120 kiloliters per day, which is in Andhra. That is dual feedstock. So we can do either sugarcane-based feedstock on it or grain. So we've actually been running it with grain for the last couple of quarters. A 120 KLPD distillery would be able to give you about just over 3 crore liters of alcohol every year. So just to put it in.
Okay, fair enough. Does the 120, does the 580 figure include 120 or it's other than that?
Yeah.
Inputs.
Yeah, this includes 120 KLPD.
Okay. So it would be around 460 for the sugarcane.
We can't say it like that because whenever there is a feedstock available for the grain, we can do 582 as well, the molasses base kind of thing.
Okay, got it. So, sir, I was trying to understand that the sugarcane availability for the ethanol has been kind of reduced, and government is trying to push for the rice and the maize, dominantly for the maize. So, do we have plans to convert the sugarcane part into the grain based part?
We'll wait for Muthu to join the Rashik. I head the sugar and biofuel business. That's an opportunity that we are continuously evaluating. Directionally, grains is an opportunity. We would want to have multi product distillery where we can use different feedstock. We keep evaluating that on a continuous basis.
Okay. So just for example, if you want to convert a 100 KLPD sugarcane distillery into a grain, multi-grain base, so how much that the conversion cost would be for us?
That's what the Ashik is mentioning it, because it's a process of evaluation. We, at the right time, we evaluate what is the capex involved versus the return on the additional benefit from the grain, basically.
Got it. Sir, also on the rice, pulse and millet size that we have launched it, so will it be significant in terms of revenue going forward?
Yeah, my colleague Balaji will respond to that.
So I was just answering, we have exited June at about 25 crores, and the numbers are going upwards as we go forward. We are looking at building it into a larger value.
Okay. So how do we see it going forward? So would we be reducing kind of sugarcane and focusing more on the bringing more growth from these three brands, three products?
Basically, if you look at it, this branded staple is not from the sugarcane now. We are doing it the asset-light model kind of thing. There is no linkage between the sugarcane-related operations versus the branded staple.
So just to clarify, what I was trying to ask was that, for example, if you want to grow from here to 1200 crores to 1400 crores, so would the majorly growth be from the rice and pulse, or would it be from the sugar? I was trying to understand that point.
See, it's a little too early to put a number down on the staples business, because this business has just been launched and we are trying to build it. So I think as of now, while we have a forward-looking outlook on this, we won't be able to put a number on this, please.
Got it. So any target for, is it breaking, is it on the break-even side currently?
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. Thanks for the opportunity, and I will get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Taking forward from previous participant's question, this 25 crore retail, what we are talking is a sweetener or non-sweetener, both put together?
It is non-sweetener, 25 crores.
And sweetener is how much?
Sweetener will be around 60 crores.
60 crores for only June month?
Yeah, correct.
So total both that put together is 85 crore, correct?
The results are there in the segmental results, Bharat. Okay. Because if you look at it, for the quarter, the CPG segment, the revenue operations is 216 crores. Out of that, 51 crores is from the non-sweetener. The balance is from the sweetener business of the quarter.
Okay. So now going ahead, I mean, our strategy will be focusing, say, geographically only in southern India market, because sugar, sweetener is, I believe, it mostly B2C kind of a business, whereas in non-sweetener, it is a B2B. Is that a fair understanding through distribution model?
So I'll just explain. Non-sweetener is completely B2C, and it's going through the distribution model into the retail outlets, and we are currently planning to be only in the south of India. The sweetener business comprises of a B2C and a B2B segment as well. So that should clarify your question.
Okay. And I understand that the kind of photograph that we have this put in our presentation, it's a large packing. I mean, non-sweetener is a big, or it's a small packing is also available?
Yeah, so non-sweetener is both large packs and small packs, both are available. According to the requirement of the category, the packs are being sold.
Okay. And how do we want to expand our SKU also in this, if you can give color? And now currently, since you said that we have around 1.5 lakh distributor reach, so where do we see, I mean, a kind of our strategy to take it forward to what kind of level of distributor as well as new SKU?
So I think the SKU will be expanded based on the relevance to the consumer and the consumer buying habit. We'll keep expanding the portfolio. Similarly, distribution, we will be looking at growing the distribution as we go forward.
Any number you would like to put after 2 years or something?
So it's a very progressive point, and so we won't be able to put a number on that now.
Okay, fair. And now coming to this nutraceutical business, is Muthu there?
No, Muthu is still, I think, is locked up little bit time. You can put a question.
Hello?
Yeah, Bharat.
Yeah, Muthu, I mean, coming back to, I mean, this nutraceutical with this European certification available. So how do we see this business over the next 2 year? Because in past we have seen several ups and downs. So overall, how do you would like to give some color in 2 years? Where do you see this business in top line as well as, I mean, contribution to the profit? Hello?
Nutra segment, as mentioned in past calls, it's still under strategic review. As we have mentioned, you know, we are subscale, and we will need to really deep. We are deeply reviewing various strategies to see how the business can be taken forward. There's, you know, two key pieces. One is the Nutra India operations, and secondly is the Varenza operation in the U.S. So that clarity, I think, once it emerges, we will be able to articulate a better strategy for the Nutra segment. Up until then, we will obviously continue to, you know, run the existing business efficiently, and, you know, any critical investments around science or product development, which are required for the progress of the business, we will continue to do. We've frozen on any major CapExes, so on and so forth, or major projects in the business at both locations.
Muthu, and is there any new product development is in pipeline within this nutraceutical segment, or will stick currently to whatever product line we have?
We will largely stick to the current product lines. There is some clinical work which we're doing in the U.S. on the saw palmetto product. Currently, it is used for prostate health. We are seeing initial scientific discovery on the opportunities with that product on the skin health and dermatological side. So we are doing some clinical work on that front. So that's perhaps the only area we're focused on from saw palmetto. In India, continuing with spirulina and chlorella, we've in fact done quite a bit of work to bring our cost position down at both locations. And there's some science work on chlorella which we're doing, but again, no drastic changes. I mean, no, you know, large CapExes, and no new launches. We want to keep the existing business running well until we have a clear strategic approach towards the business.
Okay. And now, coming back to our sugar business, I mean, So how do we see, I mean, sugar distillery as well as power generation with the kind of, I mean, sugarcane crop looks like and all?
Sorry, I didn't get your question, sir. I mean,
this year monsoon, sorry, Muthu, this year, I mean, monsoon looks relatively better, and the sugarcane crop in your initial remark you stated is likely to improve. So how do we, any kind of, I mean, ballpark, I mean, when do we expect on an annual basis to turn around that business?
So, you know, let me give you a, you know, a general overview on the sector, on the, I guess, the sugar and the alcohol sector. Yes, monsoons have been better, but the deficient monsoons last year have still, you know, have a reeling impact. You know, if we go through data from past years, you know, El Niño impact can almost take, you know, close to 24 months to really normalize. The deficient rainfalls of last year have certainly had an impact on Tamil Nadu. We're already seeing that, you know, Venkat talked about the lower recoveries that we're experiencing, and it's only now that once the monsoons have picked up, we are starting to see some planting coming in. So Tamil Nadu will remain challenging. Of course, the fact that the monsoons, the summer showers have been good, is good for the main season crops, that is the winter season crushing. With regard to Karnataka, with good summer rains and good southwest monsoon, it augurs well. There is a slight drop in area under cane in Karnataka, but I think the yield should be strong. And I think that definitely augurs well for the segment. Now, coming to policy, I think policy is very critical. If you look at FRPs, they've significantly gone up this year, 8%. While it might help with some planting, I think it will put a lot of pressure on the mills. There's also a healthy closing stock of 9 million tons. So we're really awaiting the policymakers' approach towards, firstly, ethanol blending and also exports. But I would say most importantly towards MSP, which has, you know, not moved up for many years. So I think the policy angle is something which we now have to very closely watch, and I think this will determine how the sector performs in the sort of fiscal that we are in and the years after that.
Okay. And last question, Muthu. So how, what is the gap in the spread between, say, sugarcane and vis-à-vis this multi-feed stock, that other grain stock that we consume?
So, maybe I'll let Venkat give you the exact data, but and it's a great question. I will say, though, on sugarcane, you know, we haven't seen any price increases on ethanol procurement prices for the last 2 years. So we're still actually working with, you know, old prices. There wasn't a, while there was an FRP increase and there's a significant FRP increase coming up, again, policy will hopefully address this from a sugarcane feedstock perspective. From a maize feedstock perspective, they did give us some respite by hiking the maize ethanol purchase price, and this has helped. But from the sugarcane feedstock perspective, it's an area of concern. I mean, I talked about our distillery segment, margins. We would have, been very happy with, you know, a 20-21% EBITDA business. That's what we were really building towards in the old policy framework. But I think once there was a reconsideration of this and the fact that prices were not taken up, these margins have fallen substantially and gone in sort of closer to single digits. So this is a concern. Venkat, would you have the exact spreads?
No, Muthu, because as of now, because unless we start the new season and with the FRP increase or something, maybe the next call we can come with the exact spread kind of thing.
Okay, thank you and all the best, team.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Manyal from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so just few questions on the sugarcane availability. You mentioned that probably this season the rains are better, but the impact of last year rains will be there as far as current sugarcane availability is concerned. Is it possible for you to give a ballpark number what kind of crushing numbers we would see next season?
In the fiscal that we are currently in, we would aspire to almost match last year's number. However, there could be some challenges in Tamil Nadu on that, but we're working towards trying to match last year's number.
Right, sir. So just want to understand one more thing about the recovery rate. The way North India say UP or the other some of the other states have seen some of the varieties, sugarcane varieties, which have given them a very very high recovery rate, close to a gross recovery rate of 12%. Is there any long-term plan or long-term measures which Tamil Nadu or the southern states are taking where recovery rate structurally can improve to a level of maybe 100, 200 basis point higher than the current recovery rates?
So there is constant work which is being done at the R&D level. There's the Sugarcane Breeding Institute. There's companies who do organic work as well. We're not seeing too much improvement. There's also a lot of work on yield improvement, which is sort of more directly in our control. And I think we will see some of that this year. There's a lot of focus on that with cane area dropping. In Karnataka, of course, we have some strong varieties which are higher recovery. We're not seeing too much yet on that front. I think we'll have to continue our work to see how this can pan out. UP varieties really don't perform that well in southern states, so it's hard to replicate those.
Right.
And in EID is a little unique. We're an amalgamation of three states, so we have to average our recovery around AP, TN as well as Karnataka.
Right. So one question about the refinery business, because we have seen last few years where the global prices were quite high, the spread between the raws and the refined sugar was also pretty high, but somehow we have not been able to get a major benefit out of it. So what exactly our long-term plan as far as refinery business is concerned?
So I think two parts to your question. I'll answer the second one, and Mr. Suresh Khan and my colleague who run the business will cover the first part. From a long-term plans perspective, we are trying to see how best we could work in partnerships to improve the operating parameters and the metrics of the business. So I think that endeavor continues. As and when we have more concrete information around how we take that forward, we will come up with updates. But Suresh, would you want to cover the first part of the question?
Thank you. As far as the refinery forward plan is concerned, basically it is on two prongs. One is to upsell our sugar. So initially we had started off with selling the sugar in the international trade market. And subsequently we are now moving into niche segments such as beverage manufacturers, food manufacturers, etc. As a result of which we are making some tailor-made products, which gives us a higher premium over the normal trade sugar that has been there. So over years, this percentage has moved up, as a result of which it starts giving us an additional premium over the spread, whatever the market is able to give us. Our objective is to take this value-added product to a higher percentage of our overall sales. So that will give us in good stead as far as, even if the spreads have to drop a little bit, will get compensated by this mix of sale that we have. A large enabler for this is the ability to ship under, in container loads instead of break bulk. And over a period of time, we are finding more solutions in terms of reaching the global market using containers, using multiple ports in the eastern coast. So we expect this to scale up give us a benefit over the medium to long term. The second strategy, of course, being a commodity product is to improve our cost position. Our cost situation currently is quite competitive as far as standalone refiners are concerned. We continue to work on further improvements in terms of debottlenecking, in terms of energy optimization, etc., wherein we stand ahead of the race. So that is the second prong of the strategy, to keep the cost improving continuously in order to keep up with the market.
Right, sir. Thank you very much, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question was on non-sweetener staple. Since we have strengthened our sourcing tie-up and even streamlined our process, can you elaborate how well we can go in this? Because we are adhering towards a very large market size. So what could be, we can see a scenario ahead in next 1-2 years or maybe 3 years on the new variety, new geography, and so on?
Yeah, so I think, the market, as you rightly said, the market is very large, and we are laying the foundations now in terms of distribution build-up and reaching to new outlets and within the south of India. And as I explained earlier for one of the questions, we will be looking at expanding the portfolio, and the opportunity, we will be growing as we get the opportunity in the future.
Yeah. You identified any new varieties we are now into rices of different varieties, pulses, or millet. So have we listed out any new products on that side?
It's whatever we are doing, we, as per the market, as the market opens up and expands, we will be getting into the products as and when it is required.
Sir, how about our sourcing tie-ups and all? Are we satisfied with that?
So there is always a scope to improve the sourcing tie-ups. Right now, we are doing, our volumes are smaller. As the volumes grow, I'm sure our efficiency of sourcing also will improve manifold. So as we go along, we'll get better at the sourcing efficiencies.
So just to overlay a little bit, this is Muthu here. I've been reconnected. In terms of, as Balaji said, I think the focus in the immediate term is on, the state products, entering different outlets, building that distribution and laying a strong foundation. I think over time, I'd like to see this business, build on its, gross margin level, then we start bringing in, once we have this base of distribution and foundation set, higher gross margin products, which can overlay and bolt on to the existing portfolio. And I think to that extent, on the back of these products, there'd be, dosa mixes, roti mixes, upma mixes, so on and so forth, which would come in. And I think on the sweetener front as well, more value-added sweet products. We are, of course, exploring other categories. There are a number of other categories on the food FMCG side, which are, part of the kitchen shelf, part of the dining table, part of the store cupboard of the consumer. I think they are all under development and work in progress. And I think we will come back once we have more concrete plans.
That's really helpful.
Once this foundation is built, bolting on with more products and especially building the gross margin profile of the business will be a key area of focus.
That's great, sir. Really very helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next is a follow-up question from the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, Muthu. Sorry, I mean, this is the last question. So on this retail business, non-sugary, I mean non-sweetener, so what I understand that gross margin is always the challenge, but what is our sourcing strategy? Because what we understand that some of time, I mean, getting, I mean, a right product at right price and sustaining the quality parameters, since we are attaching our brand name with that. So regularly a same quality kind of a stuff availability, and since this is a non-controlled, I mean, seller or farmer, so how do we also using our Coromandel connect with in the sourcing product?
So Bharatbhai, we will, now need to explore further, whether it's building out this business in terms of the Coromandel Connect. I think we'll certainly explore how we leverage this in terms of building the business further. But Balaji, do you want to cover a little bit of the sourcing side?
Yeah, so I think right now we are sourcing the products from the different millers in different geographies which are known for certain products, and we are sourcing it from those geographies. We are also ensuring that the quality is kept under check, because we have our large quality control team in place which actually checks every lot which is getting dispatched from the miller point, and only after that it is getting packed. So we are keeping a track on that as well, and we are moving with the market pricing at this point in time. But as as Muthu was also saying, that as we go forward, there will be a more stronger dimension to the sourcing in terms of identifying whether Coromandel will play a role in helping us, or we will identify other avenues for sourcing. But that will come up as the future plan.
Okay. Thank you. And thanks.
By the way, we are very hyper-local in our approach in terms of sourcing, processing and packaging, which is why you will see different varieties of rice, because even in a bunch of districts, there is a certain variety of rice which is popular, and then that even changes once you move in out into another cluster of districts. So that's something we realize, and I think, some of that hyper-local approach, apart from, other elements, have been quite instrumental in getting us a good start.
So, Muthu, to put it this question, what I understand that sourcing is the more important for the success of the business. Is that fair understanding?
Yes, in the staples, very critical. As I said, we are very early in this game. I think the team is also building its muscle and building its prowess. We will need to work on how we integrate best into this supply chain, because on staples, there's a very reasonable element of the profit pool which sits on the sourcing side. So as this business grows, I think it's a key muscle and an expertise which we will be building going forward. So these are very early days. This is only the fourth month of the business. I think the business has made a reasonable start. But I think we have a lot to learn in this segment, and I think we are focused on learning that very quickly and implementing.
Okay. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Divyesh Bora, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Short-term loans and short-term loans have gone up substantially. Can you elaborate on why it has gone up?
Short-term loans is basically it's a working capital. Since our net working capital has gone up, thereby the your short-term loans also has gone up. Because even if you look at it, inventory also, about inventory has gone up around 300 crores in line with the short-term loans also increased.
So in last inventories, you are saying it is 300 crore.
Yeah, right?
Right now? But last year also the turnover was around the turnover. Is there the inventory reason behind something why?
Hitesh, when you look at it, the short-term borrowings, when you look at it year-on-year, it has gone up. When you compare to the March to June, it has come down. I'm not sure which number you are looking at. If you are looking at the March number, yes, because when you look at it, March 23 versus March 24, even inventories have gone up.
Hello, Mr. Devesh.
Yeah, I've got it. So, as far as distillery is concerned, you have mentioned that it is 225 liters is the output come. So now, do we expect in September the entire facility to be on board, 482?
We have talked about the 582 KLPD, Hitesh, because as on 30th June, yes, because except the 45 KLPD, everything was on board it. As on today, if you look at it, the 580 KLPD is in operation.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is a follow-up question from the line of Gautam from Nalanda Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a follow-up on the refinery part. So I just want to understand what kind of premiums do we get when we sell to institutions that are above the white premium, like percentage-wise or absolute numbers?
Yeah, it is a range of white premium, sorry, a premium we get on top of the white premium that's available from the market. It depends on the type of the product and the institution, but it's generally in the region of $10-$25 per ton.
And how much percentage of our volume would be in with institutions right now, and say 1-2 years down the line, how much can we take it to?
At the moment, we are between 10%-15% on the institutions, depending on the time period. Our aim is to take this number at least to one-third or plus.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, Sanjay, and thank you to all of the participants. We look forward to connecting again in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.